Thank you, Praise Team. That was excellent. I love both of those. Come Now Is the Time to Worship takes me back to about 1999, when the year of the Matrix. There you go. And you know how off stuck in 1999? Would that really be so bad? I mean, like, I don't know. I think that was easier. Sometimes I think it's a little easier. 1999, I mean, not a lot of crises going on. Internet, there's no YouTube. I mean, there's that, sorry. No YouTube, no iPhone. But otherwise, life's a little simpler. I mean, frost my tips and put me in, man. I mean, send me back to 99. No, great job, though, this morning. Praise Him. I love that rendition of Jesus Paid It All. Love that, love that. And it's so cool to have our praise team growing. You know, we got this percussion section over here, which is awesome. Little brother wasn't here, though. Leo wasn't here. He usually does does something. He does a shaker or something. He does a great job. It's so cool to have Mike over here. He's jumped in and on the saxophone. So I don't know. I don't know what other musicians we have out there that needs to come out of the woodworks and add your talent. And, you know, just think of something that's not up here. Or, hey, we'll have more than one guitar or more than one of this or that. Come on up. It's going to be great. So how are you? How are you? Yeah, doing okay. This week I've been a little under the weather. Hopefully not contagious anymore, but I'm just going to stay up here, okay? And you guys stay there. I'll stay up here this week. My dear brother over here asked me how I was feeling. I said, you know, I felt a little rough. He said, and in love, he said, you look a little rough. I said, thank you. I said, thanks, brother. I have reflective surfaces in my home. I'm aware. I'm excited to preach to you from the Word of God this morning, and hopefully I don't have a coughing fit or anything. So what is tribulation? What is tribulation? That's the question that I want to answer early on. Before that, I just want to remind you guys, and let's tell the world who we are and what we stand for, our motto: no matter your story, you are welcome, you are wanted, and you are loved. That doesn't mean we can necessarily do everything for everybody, but we're sure going to try to love you and help you and do what we can for you and help move you in the direction of Jesus, because that's kind of why we do what we do. We don't really want anything from you. We want something for you, and that thing we want for you is a connection with Jesus Christ, which we believe will be so much life-giving, and I don't know how I would make it through this world without Jesus. I have no idea. It's not easy with him. It would be impossible without him. So what is tribulation? The dictionary definition of tribulation is a state of great trouble or suffering. Like when you get one of those weird hangnails and you pull on it, and instead of popping off, it just keeps going right up your finger and it's sore for days. Except everything is like that. Your whole life is a hangnail. Well, if that was the worst tribulation we faced, it'd be okay, wouldn't it? It gets so much worse than a sore finger. Life has a way of sending us tribulation, and it doesn't last days. It often lasts weeks or months or years. We all go through periods of tribulation, times when we suffer, when we endure trouble. And we found yesterday that, you know, one of our church family lost a very close family member, you know, it lost a mother, and that we pray for them, pray for that family. And there are strained and broken relationships. That's a tribulation for sure. Trials of mental health and physical health, financial problems, loss, confusion, just generally rough times. My family's experienced all of that, and so is yours. We know what tribulation is like. So what do we do when it all seems to be falling apart, when we're going through a period of tribulation? Well, there was a time when Jesus spoke a message to a group of people who would suffer through the most terrible period of tribulation the world will ever see. As a matter of fact, it was going to be so bad, it's referred to as the tribulation period. And the last half is even worse, and they call it the Great Tribulation. Now, some of you are already connecting the dots here. You've been in church for a while, maybe, or you've heard about this, and you know the tribulation period is a part of the end times. And I want to tell you, if you're new with us, we don't usually dwell a whole lot on this kind of stuff. We spend more time focusing on Jesus and redemption and transformation and hope and salvation. But Jesus talked about this, and the world is talking about this kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to address it today. So we're eventually going to get to Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. We will get there eventually, but we got to have a pretty good crash course before we get there. And it'd be a good day to take notes if you're a note taker. If you're not a note taker or did not come prepared, I'll be glad to share my notes with you. I'll give you this, okay, that I'm reading right off of, that I've prepared. Just reach out to me, okay? I'll be glad to share that. You can get my email off of the one of the brochures there, or if you listen to the podcast, recreate.church.worldwide@gmail.com, and it'll get to me. So let me clear up something right away. And you have my blessing and permission to disagree with me on this. I am utterly convinced that the scriptures show us that people who trust in Jesus in this current age will not face the tribulation period. And I'm going to explain why I believe that. And if you've got a different point of view, totally okay. Just hear me out, and maybe we can have some conversations later on. So while Jesus' followers won't face the tribulation period, we will face periods of tribulation. Jesus tells these people facing the tribulation that they should trust the Holy Spirit to show them how to respond. And I believe it's still true that if you are facing a period of tribulation, then the right way to do things is to trust the Holy Spirit to show you how to respond. Tribulation equals time to trust. That's the core of this message. Tribulation equals time to trust. Whether it is like the big bad tribulation, you know, in the book of Revelation, or it's just everyday ordinary tribulation, which in my experience is plenty for me. Amen? It's enough. I don't need more tribulation. I'm good. All right. So, we're going to dive into this crash course, but first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this time, we ask that you'll open up our hearts and our minds to your word. Help us to have a better understanding than we started with, and that includes me, Lord. Please speak to us about tribulation, about the one that we associate with the end times and this everyday tribulation. Lord, make us ready to trust in you no matter what comes. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of the things I love about our church is how God has brought together people from all sorts of backgrounds. We have folks who grew up in just about every religious environment, or sometimes a not religious environment. We've had people who grew up in a world that could only be called a cult. And that does mean, though, I cannot stand up here and presume that we're all on the same page about anything. But that's exciting, don't you see? Because we get to go right back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God actually says, and we can together build an understanding based on the Scriptures and not simply based on kind of the world we grew up in, as far as nothing wrong with tradition for the most part, but what we actually believe should be founded in the Word of God, and not just in kind of the environment that we knew. So it was brought to my attention last week that I missed that opportunity to explain something. So I'm going to do a much better job of it this week. Last week I spoke about the tribulation period, and I didn't really say what it meant. I didn't get into what it meant. During my formative years in church, it was the obsession, okay? Like, everybody was talking about the end time stuff, and there was all these books and movies and all of that, some of them with kind of dubious theology, but it was a lot of stuff going on. Like, I guess it's kind of not fizzled out, but it's sort of calmed down now, but like 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, like, we're very much worried about getting left behind. So people were thinking about it. But we got a whole new generation now for whom this is a new subject. So here goes. What is the tribulation period? Everybody ready for this? Okay. The tribulation period is a 7-year period of intense global turmoil and divine judgment. It's first prophesied in the book of Daniel. At least the duration is, and the purpose is. It's most famously described in the book of Revelation, which people always say they want to get into and study. During those days, there'll be widespread war and famine and chaos and natural disasters that are anything but natural. It will be far beyond anything we know now. We think we know war and chaos and natural disasters. We don't have a clue. That day is going to be so much worse. In those times, a charismatic leader will rise up, appearing at first to be a man of great peace, when he is actually anything but. We know him as the Antichrist, and he'll be revealed. His true nature will be revealed about halfway through, but by then it's going to be too late. At the end of these 7 years of intense judgment, Jesus will return, and he's going to destroy the Antichrist. He's going to bind up the devil, throw him in the bottomless pit, and Jesus is going to establish an earthly kingdom that is like the restored Garden of Eden. If you ever read that bit about the swords being turned into plowshares and stuff like that, in other words, weapons of war being turned into agricultural implements, that's going to happen at that time after this tribulation period. So it's going to get real bad, then it's going to get real good. Really, really good. When most people refer to the end times, what they're talking about is the 7-year tribulation period, even though the end times is actually quite a bit more than that. There's a lot more going on, at least a thousand more years than that when you count all of it. So knowing something about how awful that tribulation period is going to be, no wonder people wrote a bunch of books about it and made a bunch of movies about it. It is scary, at least on the surface. But I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of that. Tribulation is time to trust. The scriptures tell us to trust in Jesus, and we will not have to face that time to come. I believe the scriptures show us that those who have trusted in Jesus will be removed from the world before that time. And that's another term that we've come to that you probably heard that maybe hasn't been defined properly, or I haven't explained it, and that's the word rapture. Rapture. Rapture is another term. It comes from a Latin word that means to be caught away, to be snatched away. The main passages that describe it are 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. Go back and study that for sure. At the appointed time, Jesus will appear in the air, and he is going to call up the believers to himself. And man, you see that kind of depicted in the movies. The one that always cracked me up the most, and I know I mention it every time, so I'm so sorry, but there was one of those rapture movies where, like, the clothes, they leave their clothes behind and they're neatly folded. Brother, I don't neatly fold my clothes now. My wife, she most of the time folds them. If I look in my wardrobe and some of the clothes are neatly folded and some of them look like they were done by a chimp, you know which one. So I don't know. So when the rapture comes, will we leave behind our clothes? And what about our, like, pacemakers and stuff? I don't know. I wouldn't worry that much about it. What I would be worried about is that you're on the list. Get on the list. Trust Jesus. And then don't worry. That'd be somebody else's problem, okay? Like, you know, whatever. It'll be somebody else's mess to clean up. Just don't you be around for that. So, seriously, the scriptures indicate that it'll be like people are kind of going about their normal, evidently going around their normal lives and then called up to meet Jesus. Here's the thing I like. In the twinkling of an eye, love that phrase, that comes right out of the scriptures. In the twinkling of an eye, called up to heaven to be with the Lord without ever experiencing death. Very few people have had that privilege. In history, only two people have ever had that. Elijah, most famously, and a little more obscure, Enoch, which was a guy in the book of Genesis. The only people who ever went to heaven without dying. But there's going to be a bunch more in that day. If you're alive in that day when Jesus comes back, whoo, hey, you never even know what death is like. Pretty cool stuff. What a great promise. So the rapture is often depicted as the event that begins the tribulation period, but that is not actually the case. Daniel chapter 9, where are we at now, Dave? We're not even close yet, are we? Chapter 3 in our Wednesday night Bible study. So when we get to, we'll probably talk about in chapter 4 in Revelation more about this kind of thing. In Daniel 9, 4 or 5, we talk about the event that technically begins the tribulation period, and that's with the Antichrist brokering a covenant, seemingly, with Israel and its neighbors. And that's going to be the event that actually begins it. So that'll be real obvious that somehow I got this messed up and we are around for it, and you see someone making a treaty with Israel and he seems to be a real popular charismatic leader. Some red flags should go up big time. But while it is not the event that begins the tribulation period, I believe the evidence points to the rapture taking place before the tribulation period. And as promised, we got a bunch of reasons and a bunch of scriptures. So God bless you, Janiyah. It's going to be a lot of moving around. But I think if I've got it in order, you can just kind of like keep going forward, okay? So let's try this. All right, first of all, evidence from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. If you go back to verse 1 and leave it there for a second. This is the Apostle John who wrote the record of Revelation. He wrote down what he saw and heard. That was the command that Jesus gave him. He recorded it there, and we see several things here. There at the end of that verse, it's all on one slide. You don't have to go back. There at the end of verse 1, it says, take place after this. The after this points to what is preceding, which was Revelation 2 and 3, which described was the seven letters to the seven churches, which were a description of the church age. And so he's saying, after all of this stuff about the churches, here's what happened. After many scholars believe this indicates and after this, what happens to John? He relocated to heaven, and he views the events of the tribulation period from the perspective of heaven, and that's a pretty decent indication. We believe it's an indication that this is what will happen with the church, that it'll be taken to heaven, and we will watch it from there. But that's not all. Notice also there's a door standing open in heaven, standing open. Because why is it standing open? Because people are coming through it. Maybe a lot of them. A voice like a trumpet tells John, come up here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 4, let me give you a specific verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 1 Corinthians 15:52. What sound accompanies the call of the children of God up to heaven in the rapture? The sound of a trumpet. The voice of a trumpet calls them upwards. John hears this voice like a trumpet saying, come up here, and immediately what happens? He comes up here. I think when Jesus says, come on up here, I think you just come on. You don't argue with him. You just come on. That's exactly what's prophesied in the rapture, that at the sound of a trumpet, the believers will be called away. Okay, up to this point of Revelation, up through the beginnings of chapter 4 here, the church has been mentioned 18 times directly and certainly referred to indirectly many times. And so a lot talking about the church. However, beginning here at this place, we go from chapter 4 to chapter 18, which is the chapters that describe the tribulation period. And how many times is the church mentioned in chapter 4 to chapter 18? Zero times. But then after that, you hear about them again after it's over. How about some more evidence from other passages? 1 Thessalonians 5:9. This is a very simple, straightforward one. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave himself, so those who trust in him will never have to face the wrath of God. And what can you call the tribulation period but a clear outpouring of the wrath of God? The third thing here. God's precedent of removing his people before judgment. Noah. God removed Noah before the flood. Okay? God removed Lot before the destruction of Sodom. A little harder. God removed Rahab before the destruction of Jericho. Hey, there's a precedent. All right, there's a 2 Thessalonians 2:3. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul is addressing concerns that the tribulation had already begun. And he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the tribulation, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Unless what comes first? The falling away. And the man of sin is revealed. Who do you reckon that is? The man of sin, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. So we see the tribulation will not begin until two things happen. The falling away and the appearance of the Antichrist. The falling away. Falling away is literally our word apostasy. I know that's not a word we use in 2024. Apostasy, but it's in our dictionary. Apostasy is when someone appears to believe or claims to believe but does not believe. They demonstrate that they do not believe. So this is an apostate would be a person who says they believe, but they definitely do not believe. They do not believe you could say you're a Christian, but say I don't believe in Jesus, and that you would be an apostate. That wouldn't make sense. There's only going to be one point in history where everyone who says they're a Christian isn't really a Christian. Only one point. And that's right after all the real deal Jesus people are taken out. And there'll be a brief period of time when the only ones that are left are the ones that say they're Christian but don't really know Christ. Now, I've got to imagine that people are going to be figuring it out real quick after that. Because if you've heard all this stuff, say if you grew up in church and you heard all this stuff and you're like, no, and like oh my gosh. Like it was kind of, I'm not going to name any names, but I have had people tell me, and maybe you're the one too, if you wake up in a house and it's real quiet and there's like nobody there and it seems like everybody's gone and you're like, oh, did I miss it? Did I miss it? Yeah, you're probably not alone. Like, oh no, Lord. And then, but they really just, you really just slept in and they're all outside or something. You know, it's really actually, it's okay, but, or you missed it, or you missed it. May I offer you a little pastorly advice? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Okay, another passage, same chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 8. Okay, and now you know what is restraining. Okay, let me stop and preface this. In the same passage, Paul is saying that someone is restraining the work of evil in the world, and that someone must be taken out of the way before the Antichrist can appear. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 8. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Go back to verse 7, please. Someone restrains sin. This would be 2 Thessalonians. There you go. It's all on one slide. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Someone's restraining sin. And that someone has to be removed before the Antichrist can show up. Who restrains sin in the world? The Holy Spirit restrains sin in the world. Where does the Holy Spirit reside? In believers. In order to remove the Holy Spirit out of the way, you're going to have to remove believers out of the way. And what event, what prophetic event removes believers out of the way? The rapture. So I think it's got to come first. All right, the tribulation, another one here. Tribulation is especially related to Israel. The idea of the tribulation being 7 years in length, that comes from Daniel chapter 9, that prophetic passage, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Yeah, I don't think we're probably going to read all that, but I'll put it up on the screen just for you so you can have it. Daniel 9, 24 shows us the purpose of this prophetic period is concerned with Daniel's people, which is Israel, and the holy city, which is Jerusalem. Revelation 4 through 18 is full of all kinds of Old Testament imagery. All right. Revelation 3:10. Because you've kept my commandments to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, given the context of Revelation, it's very clear what he's referring to here is the tribulation period. And these folks in, I believe this was the church of Philadelphia, they were certainly going to be spared, is what he said. So I think he can spare anybody else who's trusting in him too. One more, a simple one, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Says, we wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. Delivers us from the wrath to come. I love it. I want to be delivered from the wrath to come. Anybody else? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if you search the New Testament for the phrase, the rapture comes before the tribulation, you won't find that phrase, but we find lots of evidence for it, and it only makes sense. How in the world could the Antichrist come in and deceive the whole world when there's hundreds of millions of Jesus people who will know right away who he is? I mean, doggone. He ain't even showed up yet, and there's plenty of people seeing him. Every political leader who seems to have any prominence, someone says, well, I think he's the Antichrist. I remember, it's been several presidents ago, I actually had to really sit down with somebody who I thought had a little spiritual maturity and explain, no, the current U.S. president is not the Antichrist. Maybe you don't like him, okay, fair enough, but he doesn't quite fit what we see in the scriptures, okay? And it'll just keep being that way. Understand, please, that no matter who's president and what party they are part of, someone's going to think they're the Antichrist. And they're not. Okay? Put your bets on that. They're not. We can talk sometime about who the Antichrist will be, but it won't be any American president. It's a little too obvious. And it doesn't have the right pedigree. Anyway. Okay. I will say this. If I got this wrong, if we're wrong about this, and we're going to be around for the tribulation period, I'll be doggone if I'm not going to make myself quite a nuisance. I'll say, do you want to see the scriptures here? This guy is definitely the Antichrist. Don't believe him. Don't take his mark. You know, the Antichrist will wish that I'd been raptured out. Okay? Let's make that deal, okay? Do we promise to be a nuisance? I solemnly swear to be a nuisance to the Antichrist if I'm around for it. Okay, yeah. Look, either way, the truth is the same. Tribulation equals time to trust. That goes for people who are in this prophetic period called the tribulation. Time to trust. Or just everyday normal tribulation, it's time to trust. So there's your whole crash course. You did good. Look at you. You kind of paid attention and learned some things maybe, and maybe I did too. And so now we're finally going to talk, you know, like 30 minutes in this message. Now we're going to talk about what I wanted to talk about. So buckle in. We're kind of towards the end here. I am convinced from the scriptures that believers will not experience the tribulation period, but we will absolutely experience periods of tribulation. Following Jesus does not mean your life will be easy. Sometimes it's going to make your life harder to follow when you follow Jesus, because you will not go along with some things that are happening, all right? You will have situations. If you're in the workforce, you will certainly have situations in your work environment where there are things that are happening. There's dishonesty or misbehavior that's going on that you will not be willing to be a part of. And you'll pay a price for that probably. And there's certainly, you know, in our community, in our world, if you're living for Jesus and the culture around us is anti-Jesus, you're going to pay a price for that. Understand, you will have some tribulation because you follow Jesus, but it's 100% worth it. 100% worth it. trials and struggles and difficulties happen to everybody just because we're living on a broken planet. Planet that was broken by sin, a cursed planet. God's going to straighten that out someday. But in the meantime, this thing's a junker. This planet is a junker, spiritually speaking. It needs to be gutted and remade, and Jesus is going to do that. But in the meantime, it's a problem. Mark 13, 9 through 13, I believe in context, is speaking to the future generation who will be living through the tribulation period. It's clear that that is the case, but these are specifically people who will become believers during the tribulation period. These are folks who were not believers at the time of the rapture, but quickly realize, oh my goodness, I missed it, and now they're believers, but it's too late for the escape hatch, and they're going to have to endure it. Jesus is talking about the persecution they will endure. We will not endure that level of persecution, thank goodness, although some places it's very dangerous in the world to be a Christian. We feel uncomfortable in America right now, but nobody's hunting down Jesus followers just yet. There are places in the world where that happens now, today. I believe there's something like, depending on how you're counting, like 207 countries in the world, and I believe 54 of those countries, roughly a quarter of those countries, something we're doing today is illegal. You to have that Bible is illegal. Us to preach Jesus is illegal. Sing about Jesus is illegal. Gathering Jesus' name is illegal. So in 1 out of 4 countries in the world, it's already illegal to do what we do. That's probably not going to get better. Okay? Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but we ain't moving towards some kind of a utopia where we all sing Kumbaya and make s'mores. It's not going to happen. Jesus is going to have to come and straighten. Humans aren't going to straighten this out. We're the one who made the mess. We're not going to fix the mess. Jesus is going to have to fix the mess. Now, let's do what we can. Let's make the world a better place. But ultimately, Jesus is going to have to do it. We won't face what they face, but everyday ordinary tribulation is plenty. And Jesus is teaching on the tribulation period, teaches us how to endure tribulation now. Period is of tribulation. So what's he say? He says, trust. Now let's finally read Mark 13, 9 through 13. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony to them, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Boy, we could spend several messages on that right there. But I just want to kind of make sure you understand this one thing. One thing. That for these people enduring the most terrible tribulation the world will ever see, the advice of Jesus was, don't worry so much about how you're going to respond. The Holy Spirit will show you how to respond. And that's pretty good advice for us right now. You're going to face some tribulation, trials, troubles, pains, sorrows. And you're going to wonder, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to handle this? What am I supposed to say? And the best advice I can give you is trust in God and allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to respond, how to speak, how to act. And that's really easy to talk about when we're in a pretty peaceful environment right here. But you're going to leave here and you're going to go back into a world where this is going to get tested, okay? You're going to go back into family situations that feel like a tribulation, work situations that feel like a tribulation, health, finances, just general struggles. It's going to feel like a tribulation, and it ain't going to be easy to trust in God, but that's the only thing that makes sense. If we have a God who loves us and a Holy Spirit who leads us, then the only thing that makes sense is when we face tribulation, we got to trust. trust that He will lead us and show us how to respond. The Holy Spirit will put words in your mouth, it says. Now, one thing I don't know exactly how all this works, but if the Holy Spirit is going to recall the Scriptures to mind, you might ought to put them in there in the first place. Go ahead and put the Scripture, you know, read the Scriptures. Give the Lord a little more to work with. Now, could He put them, zap them right into your brain? Maybe, probably. But the thing you can do to probably help yourself is read and study the Word of God. Okay? Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. I mean, you got a supernatural book here. It'd be crazy not to study it. So here's three promises I want you to consider. I'm going to leave you with these things to dwell on. Number one, if you trust Jesus, you won't have to face the tribulation period. Number two, you will face periods of tribulation, whether you believe in Jesus or not. Believing in Jesus is not a way to make your life easy, but it will make it much better. People who believe in Jesus and people who don't believe in Jesus experience a lot of the same trials, except we're not alone. And that's pretty huge. And number three, if you trust in Jesus, He will help you through whatever tribulation you face. So I don't know what anybody's waiting for if you've never trusted in Jesus as Savior. This is the only thing that makes sense to me. Trust in Jesus for salvation. Trust in Him through all your struggles and trials and tribulations. That's the only thing that makes sense. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank You that though we don't understand everything about the future, we can trust this, that You've got it in Your hands, You're going to take care of it, and it's going to be all right, and we can trust in You. And I pray for everyone here in this message, every single one, Lord, that they would trust in Jesus and be saved, and trust in Jesus to get through the struggles. Lord, we are looking to You for the fulfillment of that promise, that when we are in the hour of tribulation, whether it be a future time of judgment or just normal everyday tribulation, Lord, we are looking for You, for Your Holy Spirit to show us what to say and what to do and how to respond. God, I love You and I give You the glory, and I pray that You work in mighty ways. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you guys for being a part of this. Next week, I guess we'll continue on in the book of Mark. If you want to read ahead, it's going to get kind of interesting. He's still talking about the end time stuff, so you at least get one more week of that. And then we're going to get to some really amazing things like the resurrection. I'm excited for that. All right, you guys can go. You look like you're ready to go. You endured a very long, long college-level lesson there. So good job. Go get yourself something to eat. Have a good afternoon. Take care.